You know, there are certain rappers that I listen to. Like, I'm pretty sure all of you know who 2 Chainz is. All of you know who the Migos is. Now, let's just take 2 Chainz as an example. I don't really know which podcast we're gonna add this on, but let's take 2 Chainz as an example. Now, he can basically literally do nothing and say anything on a beat, right? And it would still be a popular song, and even if it was that shitty, then it would get really popular, and they'd be like, wow, look at 2 Chainz making this boof ass song. Like, it would still get popular, and the song getting popular is what generates profit for him. It's what generates money for him. And what I'm saying is, and just like the Migos, I mean, I love the Migos, but there are certain songs by them that I just cannot fucking stand because it's just way too mumble rappy, and it's just, it doesn't make any sense, or it's just off beat, or I don't know. But yeah, what I'm saying is, there's a certain level of popularity you can have to the point where you can do anything the fuck you want, and it would be considered good. Because when I was in elementary school, one of my teachers told me, I don't know why it stuck with me for so long, because it's just something that is very technical and there's a lot of variables within it that I could use. But one of my teachers said, a fact is something that everyone agrees on, everyone in the world. And if one person didn't agree with it, then it's not considered a fact. And I took that to heart as a little kid, and I kept thinking about that, and I'm like, damn. So if everyone lied to themselves and said, the sky is yellow, then would the sky technically be considered yellow regardless of the color it actually is? And I guess now that I'm actually saying that, I'm realizing that is extremely wrong. I don't know why she would teach me that. I mean, not everyone agrees that there are two genders, but whether that is a fact or not is kind of, okay, well, that's subjective. I guess there is no real example I can use, but what I'm saying is that concept of how popular you are and how anything you do is considered cool. Like, here's what I want this to transition into. I don't know how to properly transition it, so I'm just gonna fucking manually shift the conversation. When I braided my hair, I was very, actually, So, very, very long time ago, when I had short hair, I was a freshman, and I put braid, my mom braided my hair, and I was just bullshitting around. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just felt like doing something different. I just wanted to be cool. I just wanted to be accepted because I was a freshman, and I didn't realize that high school opinions didn't really define you and they don't matter. But that's besides the point. It's a whole nother topic. But yeah, I wanted to braid my hair. I just wanted to do something different. So as a freshman, I got my mom to, well, I was a freshman, but I got my mom to braid. I'm sorry, guys. I took Adderall not too long ago because I'm pulling an all-nighter. So if I seem very sporadic in my thinking, as if I'm not usually sporadic, then oh, and also all those podcasts I made last time, I popped Adderall before that too. And I didn't make a podcast for so long, but then I like took 2 and I ended up making like 3 fucking new episodes and like 7 different segments and like the whole cooperative thinking thing. Like, I was so proud of myself. But I guess we're gonna do the same fucking thing again tonight. Anyways, the concept I'm trying to bring about to you is when my mom braided my hair, I went to school and I was really confident. I was like, damn, and it was really, really short. Like, it didn't even go down to my eyebrow. And I got like my whole head braided and it was just in random spots because my mom was just bullshitting around. And yeah, and my hair just looked messy and it was braided and it was like literally like as big as your thumb would be if you're a dude. If you're a girl, it's probably as big as your half of your ring finger. I don't know. You guys get the point. It was fucking small. And I went to school and I was really, really insecure. Like, I just saw people look at me and I was like, damn. And I'm not gonna say I'm a popular person, But I do know, like, a really good amount of people. Like, I took that Myers-Briggs personality test, and I'm, like, an ENTP. I mean, if you guys could probably tell that already, but I took, I guess I'm, like, one of the social ones and one of the ones that like to think and, excuse me, and I'm just really fucking out there. So, yeah, I knew a lot of people, but I just felt so insecure, and everyone was looking at me, and I didn't know what they were thinking, so I assumed the worst as a freshman, and one of my friends, like, really, really made fun of me. I'm good friends with him now, but one of my friends really made fun of me, and I felt like I was about to cry. Like, I felt so confident at first, but then the opinions of other people changed how I felt. The opinions of other people made me change my own definition of myself, and I look back on that, and I get so mad. I get so mad that the opinions of fucking high schoolers, that their net worth, their what they've done in this world, what their opinions mean on other things, what how they were raised, like, all that shit, that shouldn't affect me. That shouldn't define me. And it did. And I let it, so it did define me. The braids were bad because because everyone else said they were, or at least I thought, no one actually said they were bad except one person. I was just really insecure. But now I have my whole fucking head braided, and it goes down to my shoulders, and I wear this outlandish clothing with, like, Squidward on it. It's called a Bold and Brash shirt. I fucking love it. It's a sweater. But now I wear, like, this out, and I drew, like, upside down crosses and a fucking Satan, what's it called? It's the circle with the, it's not a crucifix, that's the cross. I forgot what it's called. Maybe it is I don't know. Actually, I'm gonna look that up right now. If you don't want to listen, then skip, like, 15 seconds till you hear me talk. Circle with pentagram? With star in it. I'm pretty sure it's called a pentagram. Yeah. I'm trying to find it, but I'm just dumb as fuck. S-A-T-A-N. Every time I spell Satan, I spell it as Santa. It is a pentagram! Oh my god. Okay, I always mix that up with Pentagon. But yeah, so I had, like, pentagrams and shit, and I'm not, like, satanic, I just felt like bullshitting around, and I had, like, alien faces on it, and, like, I had this trippy symbol, and I walk around like that now, and everyone loves it, everyone loves the way my hair looks, the people that have come up to me, and I at least have one person a day say they like my shoes, like, I fucking count it, one person a day says I look like Post Malone, and that's been going on for, like, I'd say a couple months now, and one person a day says they like my shoes, and that's been happening for at least, like, 2 months now, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm literally just saying what fucking, like, I love my shoes, but I'm literally just telling you, like, what happens, you know? So, what, the whole thing I'm trying to say in this podcast is, it's crazy how the definition of yourself, like, whether you think you can or you can't, and I've said that before, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. How you want to define yourself is the correct way to do it. There is no wrong way to be yourself. There is no wrong way to style yourself. And there is no right way. It's how you feel and how you do it. And honestly, there comes to a certain point where someone's ideas or someone's philosophical concepts or someone's the way they dress, the way they style the hair, the way they talk, the way they move, the way they dance, the way their comedy format is, the like, when I say format, I mean the way they make you laugh, whether they're very mobile and they move around, or whether they just stutter a lot to make the joke that much funnier, or they do it a certain way, like with callbacks and shit. It's like, it gets to a point where I don't even have an opinion on that person anymore. I just respect them so much for doing their own thing and not giving a shit about what other people think. Because if you take that concept, if you take, like, doing yourself and not giving a shit what people think, then that concept alone can create so many things, and it already has. Like, Thomas Edison, like, He fucking, and I think he was an ENTP. Yeah, he was an ENTP too. Just like me, bitch. But if someone were to go up to him and be like, "Man, just go to school, just do your thing, count stick." I don't know why that's a general joke where people back then only counted sticks, but I just saw it in a lot of cartoons when I was younger. But what I'm saying is, if everyone told Thomas Edison, like, "Dude, just be normal, just be like everyone else, just fucking go to school, count sticks or what have you, and go home, pick your farm," or I really don't know what they did back then. I don't even know what age Thomas Edison was in, or what time frame. I don't know. But if everyone told him to be normal, to cut your hair, to have a clean cut, to just dress normally, just go to the name brand shits like Hollister, Aeropostale. They didn't fucking have that back then, but the a ancestor that made that per the CEO of that company now is there. So what I'm saying is, if everyone told him to be normal, like the people in my childhood did, if everyone said, why are you so out there? You're so annoying. You talk so much. You think all these weird ideas. Why are you trying to be funny? Why are you trying to do this?" Well, yeah, I'm trying because that's who, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm trying, but I guess like half the time I am really, but that's just how I am. I love the attention I get from it, and 90% of the attention is, "I really respect you for being independent," or, "Wow, Cameron, you're right," or, "Wow, Cameron, I never thought about that." You're like, I mean, sometimes I talk and people are like, "Damn, like, give me your number, give me your Snapchat. I need to continue this conversation with you, like, later, because I want to know what's inside your head." And I love those people because instead of saying, "You're weird, you're thinking of things that I'd never thought of," and because they're not within my horizon of knowledge, I just don't accept them or I don't care about them. Like, those people fucking annoy me. But when there's the opposite of those people and they're like, "Damn, like, I want to know what you're about. Like, you seem interesting," or, "Damn, like, can we expand on this? Like, I need to know, like, what's going on with you, or how you've come across this, or I just want to learn from you, or I need to know what you saw that inspired you, and I want to do the same thing." Like, those people are amazing because with that personality, you can grow. And that's the best type of personality to have, in my opinion. Because if you're just laid back and chill the entire time and you're just watching shit happen and you just want to be normal, you want to have a clean cut hair, you want to wear the same exact clothes that everyone else wears, you want to get the shoes that look nice in the opinion of other people, you want to always cut your nails. I haven't cut my nails in so long. I purposely make that shit grow because I love the way they look when they're long. It's not a statement. I'm not trying to be different. I just like the way it is. I have a lot of people say, "That's disgusting. That's disgusting." Well, bitch, I keep my shit clean. In the shower, I pick them out and I make sure they're white as fucking snow. And I know they're clean when I can see through them. And I take biotin so my shit is healthy. What I'm saying is, I like growing out my nails because I like them, regardless of what people think and their opinion. That's how they're raised. That's on them. That's their perspective. And everyone has a different perspective. And their perspective is inspired by their past events and mainly how their parents grew them up. And their parents' perspective is based on how their parents grew them up. So why am I focusing on a whole fucking generation, not generation, a whole fucking family tree of other people's opinions? That's a really bad example, but you guys get what I'm saying. Why am I focusing on other people's opinions to affect and define my own life? It doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm really starting to take all this shit to heart as of recently, especially since I'm saying it out loud to other people on my podcast, and then I have people messaging me saying, "Wow, I mean, like, you're right. Like, you're not wrong." And like, two people have done that. I'm not gonna front. Like, only two people have. But those two people heard me and they agreed with me. And the fact that I can either change the way you think, or just change your perspective, or you just give you insight, or just make you feel better about yourself and give you more independence, because all the shit I'm saying is pointed towards that, in my opinion. Then, like, if I can do that, like, that feels amazing. If I can make people feel how I feel and make them feel happy in their own sense, then, like, that's awesome. And what I'm saying is fucking general. I like being an outsider. I like having my nails long. I like having my hair in different fucking styles every week and braided. I like having clothes. I want to draw on my clothes. I draw on my solid color shirts because I think solid colored shirts are annoying, or not annoying, but just boring. There's nothing to them. You look at them and their value is there. I want to have shit that people look at and then they look away and they're like, wait, what did he have on there? Or what was that detail? Like, what was that symbol? Like, I need to focus on that more because there's so much shit. Like, the attention you draw from people is important because I don't know where I was going to stem from that statement. I've kind of improvised this entire thing, but now I'm at a roadblock. But yeah, all in all, I'm saying other people's opinions don't define you. Only yours does. And your that opinion that you have of yourself shouldn't be inspired by other people, because those people are on the same level as you. Humans are all the same. No one's above anyone. I mean, obviously, maybe fucking Einstein, or maybe one of the better presidents, not the most recent ones, but maybe the more, maybe one of the cooler ones, I guess. And maybe you should take a little from your parents just out of respect. But after that, I mean, That was a terrible analogy, but you guys understand what I'm saying. There shouldn't be outside influence within your definition of yourself, because the more independent you are, the more original you are. And with more originality, the less boring life is. Without originality, we wouldn't have the fucking light bulb. We wouldn't have iPhones. We'd have some other bullshit. We wouldn't have an Xbox. We wouldn't have computers, because someone had to think outside the box. Someone had to say, okay, what technology do we have now? And what can I do to make that better with my knowledge that I have of computer science? No, well, I guess they didn't have computer science back then. But I'm kind of at a roadblock. I've been improvising this entire thing, and I just don't really know what to say anymore. But yeah, in individuality, all that gay bullshit, I'm pretty sure you guys can get this for the most part. I love you, stay safe, and Minecraft isn't gay, by the way. If you play Minecraft and you're over the age of 15, don't think it's gay. It's such a creative game. It expands your mind so much. You can do anything. I mean, other than fly in survival mode, or not die in survival mode. Red Dead Redemption is pretty cool, too. I'm looking all the shit on my screen. Oh, No Man's Sky is an amazing game as well. But yeah, I love you guys. Good night, or good morning, or good evening, or have a nice day in whichever time zone you are. But goodbye. I love you guys. Okay, I'm driving, so bear with me here. But I just accidentally ran a red light, which kind of sucks. It was I felt really bad because, like, obviously, I didn't do it on purpose, but the fucking green light for the turn signal to the left was going, and I was trying to call this number because my check hasn't arrived in, like, a month since I started this new job, and I was, like, on my phone trying to call this number, and I just look up, and I see a green light, and I'm like, oh, bet, and then, like, halfway through the red light, I'm like, oh, fuck, this ain't no green light, and yeah, that kind of sucks, but that's besides the point. Hi guys, so I'm going to talk about how psychedelics open you up to, this is going to sound really hippie, but like, when you trip, the whole premise of it is, and like, this has been going around for a while, I don't know how long, I'm pretty sure longer than I've been fucking alive, excuse me, but yeah, like, when you fucking trip, I'm just gonna make it in simpler terms for you. I'm not gonna pull up all the scientific facts, partly because I don't really know the scientific facts. Other part is because I just don't know. But the research that I do know, I know is true. So, psychedelics open you up to a variety of things, and one of them is seeing past the lies of the government. Now, with cigarettes mainly, acid has helped me quit cigarettes. I'm still fucking smoking them, which doesn't really prove anything, honestly, but damn, I hope you guys can hear me over this loud-ass car, because, like, I'm listening to how loud it is, and it's pretty fucking loud, but either way. So, yeah, let's just focus on cigarettes. Basically, the government wants our people to be stupid, our people to have low intelligence, because they're easier to control, it's easier to get things from you. They want you to be dumb enough to go, oh, cigarettes? Yeah, I can buy them. I don't have enough self-control to stop. Or they want you to see that candy bar in Publix as you're going through the checkout line and go, well, fuck it. I'm going to die anyway. I might as well buy them because I value my happiness more than any other logical reason to not buy that candy bar, being it's a waste of money, being that it's only a feeling that's going to last a couple seconds. You're going to get that dopamine boost of chocolate. I have allergies right now. Excuse my sniffling. But yeah, basically, after a bunch of trips, I realized that, damn, cigarettes are just a waste of time. They make me feel like shit. And on top of that, there's no point in smoking them because I just get that small boost of dopamine or serotonin or what have you. And it just makes you happy for a couple of seconds, and then you feel like shit, and then you want another one. And that's exactly what the government wants you to do. It's a chemical inside your brain that literally alters you to be fucking addicted. And I guess you could say it changes you, because before, I wasn't addicted to cigarettes. I don't really give a shit. But now I smoked one. Now I kind of chain smoked them on my way to school, and I realized, goddamn, like, this is a waste of fucking money. Over time, I think I've spent like around $100 on cigarettes throughout my life. Maybe, I think I would say less than that, because like I turned 18 less than a year ago. And I don't buy them all the time, but like I've been buying them like very frequently because I would smoke them. And I have 3 left and I want to buy a new pack, but then I thought, you know, well, you guys get the whole point. Oh, thank God. I thought I was going to run into that car. But, yeah. So, when you trip, you basically realize, like, what is and what isn't. You get a deep look into yourself, and you realize that, damn, like, I don't need, like, this whole... It brings you to, like, a 4D version, I guess, and I'm kind of understanding why people are like, oh, you want to trip? You want to trip hard? You want to go into the fourth dimension? And the fourth dimension is time, obviously. You guys know this. I hope you do, after watching all my podcasts. And you realize, like, you realize what you need and what you don't need, and it brings you into perspective of, like someone that's sober and that's never fucking tripped or never smoked or just never altered their mind like that. Maybe they got drunk a couple times. Maybe they smoked a couple cigarettes in their life. But for the most part, normal people are boring. They're like, damn, all right, I need to abide by the law. I need to, Damn, my ear itches. But you're like, I need to abide by the law. I need to go to college. You need to make sure I have a good job. Make sure I always drive the speed limit. You need to make sure I always have my shit down packed. It's good to pay your taxes. It's bad to break the law. It's bad not to go to college. I have to do what everyone else is doing. And then you have this, like, you know, this empty feeling in you that every human has. Excuse me. You have this empty hole in you that every other human has, where they kind of want to be filled with happiness, and that's usually why people do drugs to begin with, because they want to fill this gaping hole inside of them that parents or friends never were able to fill. And drugs can fill that because it's immediate. You do it, and then you're immediately happy. But true happiness is over time, fixing yourself, and even when you're sober, that's really what true happiness is, being sober and realizing what you do and don't need. And this is very broad, but if you've ever tripped, you realize what I'm talking about. I guess this podcast doesn't really work for people that alter their mind to the point where I do it, or to the point where anyone has ever tripped. I don't know. I'm fucking driving. Bear with me. But, yeah, let me just put it in terms for you. After I trip, after, like, my 50th or 40th time, like, I realized that, like, why do I need to follow what everyone else is doing? Like, it brings you into this it brings you into this 4D version, this 4D version of your entire life, and you're like, I could do my own thing. Like, I don't, and this is after you sober up, this is days and weeks after you sober up, and you're just, you haven't done acid in a week, and these ideas, these concepts, they still carry with you, because that's how true the psychedelic experience is. And you realize them while tripping, and you realize that, like, damn, like, just because I was raised to go to college, just because I was raised to have these cultural values, to have really nice clothes, or these cultural values that, yeah, cigarettes, they suck, but, you know, they make me feel good, so fuck it. It that gives you self-control. It helps you realize what you do and what you don't need. Now, I feel like I'm going in the circle, so I'm going to try and alter the topic slightly. You're raised to believe these things. You're raised to go to college. You're raised to want to do these certain things. Whether you want to believe it or not, all your decisions are based on, as a kid, how you were raised. And I'm sure everyone was raised to believe, like, yeah, college is not a bad thing. You should definitely go to it. You should definitely try it. I've never had someone tell me I shouldn't go to college, unless they're just, like, a teenager that has no idea what the fuck they're talking about. And I still believe I should go to college, even though I kind of disagree with it. And after a bunch of acid trips, I realized that, like, why am I following what the government is telling me? Why am I following all this shit? Because realistically, and this is where that 4D vision comes in. 4D is time, where you basically just think about the future, but you're on acid, so, like, your thinking is accelerated, and it's more creative, and it's more outlandish, I suppose. And whether that is true or not, I mean, there is no truth if you think about it. It's all based off of opinion. But it just gets you thinking. That's the point of it. It gets you thinking. And the government doesn't exactly want you to think, because when you start thinking and you start being yourself, you realize there are certain government structures and concepts that don't make sense, that I can't go into specifics about it because I don't really know the specifics. And also, if I don't want to say something wrong, that will be seen by someone and be like, damn, he has a point. And then, I don't know, some fucking CIA agent looks at my shit and they're like, hey, that's right. We can't have the people thinking that way. Because when you start thinking for yourself, when you start being independent, when you start being an independent thinker, and your IQ basically, I don't think it has to do with your IQ. I think it just has to go with the way you're thinking. When you independently think, it doesn't really benefit the government. Because when you're stupid, it's easier to buy cigarettes. It's easier for propaganda to control you. It's just easier to get controlled. It's easier to sway your mind when you're stupid because you're gullible and you don't know. But after you've done enough thinking, you don't know, but you just start realizing, going, damn, I don't need to buy cigarettes, or damn, I don't need to buy that candy bar at the store. And all these things that you realize and all these things that you think, they don't help the government, because if you're stupid enough, you're inevitably going to spend money, and that's going to get taxed, and that's going to go to the government. And they want you to buy cigarettes. The government wants me to be addicted to cigarettes, because then they will get a portion of my tax money, and they will benefit off that. But when you, and that's just cigarettes. That is just cigarettes. Acid helps me to not be addicted to cigarettes. So it kind of makes sense why they don't want acid to be legalized, because when you're an independent thinker, you're hard to control. You kind of realize the government structure that we're living in, and you realize why things are the way they are. And the government stops looking like a god that knows everything. They start looking like a parent that has no idea what they're talking about. And instead of them illegalizing acid because it's bad for you, it alters your mind, and it could kill you, and it could do this, instead of you asking why the government illegalizes it and those are your answers, you start realizing, damn, I'm only being more independent and I'm being happier. Like, through psychedelics, I've solved so many internal problems. I realized that being alone, like, yeah, I'm single,
And that kind of sucks. I do miss being in a relationship. I do miss being in love. I miss texting that person every day, good morning, seeing them, kissing them, hugging them, talking about shit with them. But it was kind of sad after I broke up with that person. This happened multiple times, so it's kind of like a fucking roller coaster. I'm just up and down. Excuse me. But yeah, acid has helped me realize I don't need a fucking relationship. I don't need those things that I've been pushed so much to get into. I can be myself. And instead of me being sad and going, damn, I don't really know what to do. I don't really know what to do. You can go to a therapist, boom, you pay for that, government gets tax off that. Or you can go, damn, I don't really know what to do. I think I'm gonna smoke some cigarettes to help me feel better, because that fills that gaping hole inside my body full of sadness. And now it's filled with nicotine, and now I'm buzzed, and I don't really care about being single. Government profits off that. Or, damn, I need opiates because I like feeling very lifted up and feeling very just out of my body and feeling numb everywhere because it doesn't help me feel the sad things that I feel. Acid is that. It gets you that out-of-body experience. It gets you that high that you need. But the difference is, after you get that high, you come to realizations that help you realize that you don't need a high to begin with. You just need to think for yourself. You just need to have these own ideas and these own concepts within your brain. You just need to know these things for you to be happier. You need to come to these realizations. And if you're dumb and you don't think, or you just, I'm not saying dumb people don't do acid, but if you're dumb or you haven't done acid, or both, which is terrible, honestly, either one is bad. If you are dumb or you just haven't had that psychedelic experience that you need to be an independent thinker, then you're gonna move to other things that will cost money, like cigarettes, or like getting prescribed opiates because you're sad, or going to a doctor and getting diagnosed with something and then getting prescribed Adderall, or getting prescribed antidepressants or Xanax. And all of those are pills made by the fucking government just so you can feel uplifted and different. And then the government makes money off of it because of tax. And then, boom. If you did acid, then you'd be fine. You would only need to spend $10 on a fucking trip. Or if you're me, then maybe 3 tabs or 4 tabs at once. And then you trip the fuck out. And you're like, damn, I'm set for, like, the next, like, couple months or maybe even the rest of my life. Because you can't take knowledge away from somebody. That's why the government wants to hide this shit from you. Because, yeah, trips feel nice and getting high in general feels nice. But you don't gain knowledge. You don't gain independence. You don't gain these personal characteristics. You don't gain that from opiates. You don't gain that from cigarettes. You can from weed. That's heavily illegalized in Florida. I mean, medically, no. But medical patients aren't the majority of people in Florida. So it kind of doesn't defeat the purpose, but we're getting there at least. You know? Like, you can't take knowledge away from somebody. So once they realize, I don't need this shit. I don't need to give the government money from this. I don't really need to do all this shit that I've been told I need to do that will only benefit the government, and then eventually I'll die of cancer, or I'll die from taking too many opiates or getting prescribed the wrong thing, or just working and then going to college. Like, you realize what you need and what you don't need, and those are truths to you. Those are 100% truths to you, and there's not much many people can do to sway you from that. And when you give somebody that knowledge, you basically take away that gullibleness, that stupidness that the government wants you to feel, so you'll give them money for anything. Because realistically, it's all about money. It's all about politics. Since, I mean, yeah, weed was illegalized, not because the government just says, well, weed is bad for you. No, it's obviously very not, considering the facts behind it. Also considering it's fucking legalized recreationally in other states. It's all because of money. You can't tax weed unless you legalize it. But then when you legalize it, there's a whole bunch of other problems that occur where, like, well, instead of getting prescribed opiates for this pain that you feel, you just smoke a joint and you feel good. That's $10 a day. I don't really know, like, what opiates cost, but I'm more than sure one fucking Xan a day, and that's even bad for you, but just, and opiates aren't Xanax, by the way. I'm just using that as a, I'm sorry, I'm trying to turn. Okay. I'm just using that as an example. Everything I said is kind of true, but I do heavily suggest you guys to do research, because I'm not going to be ignorant. I'm really not. I don't know a lot of information about psychedelics, about this whole concept of the government's illegalizing it. I don't know. Acid has helped me be less ignorant and less insecure about my knowledge, because if I don't know something, how are you going to fucking shit on me for not knowing? Because I don't know. I'm doing research, I'm growing, I'm learning, and I'm content with that. I'm trying to fucking learn more about this, but it's hard when the very first link you click about acid being healthy is drugsfree.org telling you, yes, acid grows from, or LSD literally stems from ergot fungus on rye or wheat or something. I don't know. It's a certain type of wheat that a fungus grows on that if you eat, you end up tripping the fuck out. And that's half of LSD. The other half is just chemicals made inside of a lab. Yet it's still fucking healthy for you? That's really odd. It's funny because those chemicals help you cope with certain things, and they give you the knowledge to be independent and have enough self-control and be yourself. But the government doesn't want that, because the government wants you to spend more and more and more and more money. Like with cancer patients, give cancer patients like 2 tabs and let them trip the fuck out and see how they feel about life after that, rather than hook them up with morphine or opiates or other pills to get them really high, and then they feel like shit afterwards and then they want more. It's basically a crack high, and they want you to keep getting for more and more and more, because when you keep getting more and more and more, you keep giving the government more and more money. But they're not going to benefit off of you knowing what you do and do not need. They don't benefit off of you being smart. They don't benefit off of you realizing, wow, I know what I need to do now. Because the government wants you to be stupid. They want you to not know what to do, because if you don't know what to do, just generally in any situation, it's inevitably gonna end in you either fucking up and owing the government money, or just giving the government money to solve your problems. You know, like, I don't know, that's just me. You guys should do, I heavily suggest you guys do a lot more research on this, and message me and prove me right or prove me wrong, please. I want somebody to prove me right or prove me wrong. I want to know if what I'm saying is backed up by more scientific evidence than I've already seen, or if there's scientific evidence that I could do more research on that I've realized, damn, you know what, that's true. Acid does cause this in the body, and then that leaves that bad effect. Which I've never seen anything really bad about acid, other than if you don't know how to trip normally, not normally, I guess, but if you don't know how to have a genuine psychedelic experience to the point where it's 100% or as healthy as you could get for acid, because it does leave like little to no toxicity, because it's still a fucking drug. But I want more information on this so I can configure my perspective and my opinion and turn that into a theory, and then turn that into the truth, and then eventually the government will, just like with meth to morphine, or I guess it's heroin to morphine, we can slowly start legalizing small components of psychedelics to help people through certain issues in their life that will cost them less money, that will give them more knowledge, and make the entire population of citizens in America that much smarter, that much more emotional intelligence, or just have that much more anything. Either way, intelligence is always good for you. Knowing shit is always good for you. That's the same shit. No, actually, intelligence and just knowing shit is very different. The difference is, when you know something, you learn from experience. When you are intelligent, you could be placed in any related issue, and that intelligence will help, like a puzzle, you know? Like, no one's gonna memorize how to do a puzzle. It feeds off your intelligence, you know? Okay. I'm about to head to school. I just made this podcast, like, all the way through through my drive here, I guess. But I love you guys. I'm used to saying swipe up because I ran on my Snapchat story, too. Which, if you want to add me, it's Mr. Cat in Suit. It's MR.CATINSUITE. It's really Mr. Cat in Sweet, but I was literally, like, in middle school when I spelled it, and I didn't realize sweet and suit were spelled differently, because I didn't know how to spell suit to begin with. That probably explains why I did that wrong. But, yeah, please leave me messages. Please just give me more information on this. Give me more information on this, so I can just grow my knowledge, and, yeah. I love you guys. Stay safe out there. Please don't get pulled over. And, yeah, bye, I guess.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm gonna make another podcast because I, did a lot of looking on Alan Watts after my Cooperative Thinking podcast. You guys should watch it. With Bennett and Kenny, I met them both in middle school, which is fucking hilarious, and now I never, ever get to see them, and, I just, like, just text them now. I mean, I met them in middle school, but I met Kenny in middle school, and I met Bennett on Xbox Live. Whatever. I was scrolling through. I'm just gonna read some of these, because fuck it. How is it possible that being with such sensitive jewels as the eyes, such enchanted musical instruments as the ears, and such fabulous, and then there's like a big word, of nerves as the brain, can experience itself anything less than a god? This basically means, like, how can you look at yourself with what you can do? You can see, you can visualize things, you could hear music, you could do anything the fuck you want, basically. How can you look at that as less than a god? Why is our expectation for a god so high and mighty? And I think it's because of what we think we know, at least. Because imagine an ant's perspective on a human. It's just an ant. When an ant looks down at a human, it's like, holy fucking shit, you're big, you can eat at any moment in time, just about, you can kill every one of your enemies, basically, especially if there's a lot of you, you can think you know more than any of the other animals here, and to an ant's brain power, an ant can't even conceive the amount. An ant is unable to understand the concept. Not even the concept. It's just unable to understand how much knowledge a human brain can know, let alone the ones that do know the knowledge that they do know. Like, just the capacity is enough to fry the ant brain. What I'm saying is, an ant looks at a person and is like, wow, you could do all these amazing things. You're basically a god. And then we look at each other and we're like, wait, well, we're not a god. I mean, I have my limits. How do we know God isn't the same? How do we know God isn't the same way? How do we know we aren't just in this middle ground where we're stronger than a lot of the things around us, but other things are stronger than us? And we don't see them the same way ants look at us, because they're on such a different power, such a different level that, I don't know. It's just interesting to think about. Technology is destructive only in the hands of people who do not realize that they are one and the same process as the universe. I don't really understand that one. I'm in the more intimate sphere of personal life. The problem is the pain of trying to avoid suffering and the fear of trying not to be afraid. The problem is the pain of trying to avoid suffering and the fear of trying not to be afraid. I don't understand that one either. Our pleasures are not material pleasures, but symbols of pleasure, attractively packaged but inferior content. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how to describe that one, but I think I know what he means. I'm going to scroll up to the ones I already did read so I have more of an understanding of a... Man suffers only because he takes seriously what the gods made for fun. He basically means, like, why are you taking life seriously? Like, why are you stressing over everything or just anything at all, really? I mean, everything is just a chemical. Everything is just there, I guess, you know? Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just a feeling. It's just a, like, a visual. Like, I can visualize it, but I can't, like, put it into words of what I'm trying to see, I guess. It's like, what's the point of even caring about anything if everything is just going to perish one day? Like, inevitably, this is a 100% for a fact. One day, I'm gonna die. Every single person I have ever met in my entire life is gonna die. And every single family member, at least for a couple generations, is gonna die. Of all the people that I knew, everyone is eventually gonna die. And the buildings that they worked at, the buildings they call home, the place they had their first kiss, the place they first had sex, which might not always be a house, but could be fucking outside. I mean, I'm not one of those people, but you do find them. Probably outside, but yeah, like, inevitably, everything is just gonna pass by, everything is gonna go, and it's either gonna be destroyed, or it's gonna be made into something else. Like, what's the point of stressing over something that isn't even gonna stay this long? You're just stressing over how you're gonna feel in the future. That's really it. We only notice what we think noteworthy, and therefore our visions are highly selective. Yeah, I can relate to this. I'm sorry for yawning. That was so rude. Like, I mean, I just, like, I'm not talking on the phone with someone. Like, this is supposed to be a fucking podcast. We cannot be more sensitive to pleasure without being more sensitive to pain. And then the one above that says the positive cannot exist without the negative. I've already talked about this with Sebastian Soto on my cooperative thinking podcast. You can only be on the in. Oh yeah, okay. I'm gonna read this for you word for word. You can only be on the in relation to something that is out. Because if someone tells you a secret, it's not really a secret anymore, but you're keeping it as a secret, but it's technically out. You know, like, I thought about this in high school one time. One of the senior pranks, when I was a freshman, I was really good friends with this one senior. And he was telling me all the senior pranks that they were gonna do. But before he told me, he was like, listen, you can't tell anyone because the whole point of it being a secret is that you shouldn't tell people or else it's not a secret anymore. And he's like, only like a good amount of the seniors know, but I'm telling you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he told me and shit. And then, obviously he told me not to tell anyone, but then I thought, well, if I tell my friend, then it's just like you telling me. It's still a secret. It's just how many people that secret is unknown to is less now, and more people know about it. So it's, is it a secret, or is it, like, what would you define it as? Where does a secret start and end? Because if one person knows it, I can believe that's a secret. But, whatever. Everything that happens, everything that I have ever done, everything that anybody else has ever done is part of a harmonious design, that there is no error at all. I mean, yeah, that kind of makes sense, because if things happen for a reason, like, if everything happens because it was supposed to happen, then I guess our system, that you would call it, would be real. Everybody has love, but can only come out when he is convinced of the impossibility and the frustration of trying to love himself. I read this a lot, like, 5 minutes ago as I was scrolling through, and I didn't get it. But it can only come out when he is convinced of the impossibility and the frustration of trying to love himself. But I think I'm starting to slowly understand it. Don't worry, we're only on 23, so love is not something that is sort of rare commodity. Everybody has it. That's true. I mean, everybody does have the ability to give love and receive love. It's just trying to get people to give it to you can be very, very difficult, or it can be really easy, sometimes too easy, or it could just cost money. I mean, you know, whatever your flavor is. Never pretend to a love which you do not actually feel, for love is not ours to command. That's true. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying that's true after these, but true. Like, if love is an emotion, oh shit, I have something to talk about. Okay, so I have this really, I don't know how to explain it. I'm just gonna say it as if I have this ghetto friend, right? And he's like, nah, man, gay people, like, that's a choice. Like, you choose to like that. And I go, okay, we're gonna call him Alex, just because it's an easy name. I'm like, okay, Alex, if you choose to do something, like, if you choose to pick up a paintbrush, was it because you wanted to? Wait, that's not a good example. If you choose to drink water, why'd you choose to drink water right now rather than 5 minutes or 10 minutes ago? And he said, well, because, like, I need water, man. Like I need water. It doesn't matter when I get it. Like, I just need water. And I'm like, okay, well, if you need it, then isn't that in the same sense as, like, gay people and their choice? Because I was trying to prove to him that gay people, like, being gay is not a choice. But he didn't want to believe that. And he's like, it's a choice, like through birth. And I'm sorry for trying to imitate him, but he basically said, like, all the shit you receive at birth and just growing up and everything around you makes you into a homosexual or someone that's bi. And whatever. That's that, though. But I honestly believe people are born gay. Like, how do you, like, when you want something, why do you want it? It's because there's something in you that's like, yo, I choose that over something else. For the exact, like, I don't, it's in you. I don't know how to explain it. Here's another quote. So then, the relationship of self to the other, is the complete realization that loving yourself is impossible without loving everything defined as other than yourself. I don't really know what that means. I feel like when I don't get one of his quotes, it's just because I'm dumb. Like, honestly, no work or love will flourish out of guilt, fear, or hollowness of heart, just as no valid plans for the future can be made by those who have no capacity for living now. Everything we want to do right needs to come from a place of good intentions and close attention to the present. I guess that's what he meant. Because, like, yeah, that kind of helped me through, like, getting sad and shit. Because I would always think about, like, I'm sorry for sniffling. I would always think about, like, if I'm sad about something, then it's not gonna fix the problem. And I'm sad because the problem isn't fixed. So how is sad, being sad, gonna help me fix the problem? Well, really, it's just supposed to put into perspective how happy I'm going to be when that problem is fixed. And I'm gonna be like, damn, I was so sad. Now I'm really happy because I'm not sad anymore. That's the whole point of getting sad, so you can be happy and you could put in the perspective of the value of each of them. But that's basically what it means for here. Like, you're not gonna do anything if you're guilty or if you're fearful or you're hollow. Because it's not gonna, whatever. Y'all know what I mean. But the attitude of faith is to let go and become open to truth, whatever it might turn out to be. Yeah. Yeah, I was never a big one for faith. Literally, the description says, faith equals the art of letting go. Like, it's hard to just have faith. It's always been hard for me to, like, have faith or just, like, quote-unquote letting go. Because, like, I'd always have people tell me, like, why is it so hard for you to be religious? Or, like, why is it so... People don't actually say that to me a lot. Only a couple have recently, though. And they're like, why is it so hard for you to be religious? Or why is it so hard for you to let go? Why can't you just stop and just not think or think about nothing? And I can't do that because, like, I sit and I think, and then I think of a white background, but then I'm like, wait, what can I design this as? And then, like, I turn all these, it doesn't become white anymore. It's just, like, plaid white, and it's still white. It's white on white, but it's plaid, and I notice it. And then that annoys me. I don't know. I can't have faith in something. I can never, like, let go. Because I think too much about it. I get too... I don't even know what the word is. But I don't know. I think too much. When we attempt to exercise power or control over someone else, we cannot avoid giving that person the very same power or control over us. I don't understand that one bit. Oh, when we give someone all that time and energy, we also give them our power. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to define power as our time and energy, but... Problems that remain persistently insoluble should always be suspected as questions asked in the wrong way. Ooh. I think they spelled insolvable wrong. Insoluble? S-O-L-I-N-S-O-L-U-B-L-E. I don't know. But problems that remain persistently unsolvable should always be suspected as questions asked in the wrong way. I like that. I don't know how I missed that one. A scholar tries to learn something every day. A student of Buddha tries to unlearn something daily. Yeah, because the whole thing with Buddha is Buddhists try and let go and not give a fuck about anything, I guess. Things are as they are. Looking out into the universe at night, we make no comparisons between right and wrong stars, nor between well and badly arranged constellations. Wow, that's true. Like, what makes a constellation bad? What makes a constellation good? And whoever defined those, what makes them right to judge a fucking star millions of miles away from you that doesn't even exist? Never thought about it that way. Try to imagine what it would be like to go to sleep and never wake up. Now try to imagine what it was like to wake up having never gone to sleep. Yeah, I guess he's talking about where when you wake up and you're like, it's the whole acid realization thing. The more a thing tends to be permanent, the more it tends to be lifeless. I really like that one because it kind of like, when I first read it, I was like, well, you can't plug that in for everything. And then I did, and it fucking worked. Because life is constant change. Life is full of ups and downs. Life is always moving. Anything else is just dead. The necklace I wear is... No, I'm not gonna bring that up. The fucking... Like, my phone... My phone is somewhat, like, alive to me. Like, it almost has, like, a vibe. Oh, voice crack. Like, a vibe to it, I guess. Because, like, I move it around. I make it have... Fuck, that's a really shitty example. I don't know how to, like, prove this right. Again. Like, this painting that I'm next to is dead. It's not moving, it's not going anywhere, it doesn't have any life, any opinions, it's not doing anything. But if you keep adding to that painting, doesn't it feel somewhat alive? Like, doesn't it feel like there's something new to it? Like, there's something, whenever you look at it and there's something new to it, it's like, oh, okay, like it interests you. It makes you a little curious, and maybe you could add to it. And it's the same thing with life, or just things that are alive. Like, when you see me walking down the street, which I hope you never do, but if you do, like, I'm alive, because I'm walking, I'm breathing. You've heard me talk to my podcast. You've heard what I've had to say. You've heard what I think about. Like, I'm alive. But people who don't do that, who don't express their mind, who don't share what's on their mind as even, like, a quarter as much as I do, which is probably an average person, in my opinion. But people who don't do that, it's like, it's so weird. Like, you know, like, you know those people who are silent all the time. Maybe you're one of them. But those people who are silent, like, all the time and don't say shit whatsoever unless you talk to them, like, how could you be that way? I don't understand. Like, it's not bad. It's not good either. It's not bad. It's just a way of being. But I don't understand, like, that. Just doing that. It's so boring in my eyes. I'm going to make this the last quote because I'm actually tired. You are a function of what the whole universe is doing in the same way that a wave is a function of what the whole ocean is doing. I really think he meant fraction. Yeah, whole ocean is doing. We are all a part of something much bigger than ourselves. Live life accordingly. Okay, thank you, description. Well, I'm gonna go now. This was a nice 23 minutes and 5 seconds. I hope you guys enjoyed my lisp and me sniffing every 5 seconds. And yeah, I'm gonna go now. You guys stay safe out there.